Dear Asian Girl, for Asian girls, by Asian girls. Hi guys, welcome to Dear Asian Girl. This is our off season episodes, and today we're going to be talking about food and our love for food. This is a Break It Down with Abby and Jen.
Yeah,
you want to introduce yourself? Yeah.
Yes, it's me. I'm Abby. She, her. Those are my pronouns. I realized we should have said that for the other one.
No, you're okay. So we're going to be talking about like what food really means to us. And as you mentioned before, there's like a segment where there's a bunch of people talking about food and what it means to them as well. So I have a lot of thoughts on this because I actually wrote my final essay on this topic. That's why I really wanted to do this episode, because I think it's definitely something I'm very passionate about. I love food. I'm a huge foodie. So I can definitely talk a lot about this and what it means to specifically the Asian identity and also the Asian American identity. I feel like it's very important for the Asian American identity as well. So, But do you have any thoughts first before we dive in? Or
I get so emotional talking about food, because it's just not only important to the culture, but also my family. We're big foodies. My mom's a wonderful cook. So is my grandma. And I'm not too bad in the kitchen myself. I'm chefing it up, you know. I think that there's such a beautiful aspect that food has on not just Asian culture, but humanity. And I'm gonna cry. I could literally start crying if you get me started. So let's you can start talking about something, because I'm gonna
Okay, so I think one of my favorite things about food is the way it connects me to my culture in other ways that I haven't been able to. So for a brief context for anyone that is new, I'm Filipino American. I grew up in Illinois, and that's a predominantly white area. So my mom and my family and I, we were like the only Asians in my block. So food was never really viable or an option, like in our local grocery store, in terms of Filipino food. So the way that my mom cooked was like a taste of what the Philippines is, and what home could have been like if we stayed there, or community and stuff, all through that plate of food. And even though it was just, I live in a family of five, it felt like home in a way that meant like that was super special to me. So yeah. And my family, like we say I love you, like we say I love you a lot, but we express more I love you through like food and if you've eaten, just because like I feel like for Asian families in specific, like taking care of one another is like one of the main signs of love. You don't really say words of affirmation. Like Asian families do not like use words of affirmation as their main love language. It's acts of service, and food is definitely like a primary way to like bring that love language together in ways that you can't really. So
yeah, of course. To talk to your point earlier about the food connecting into culture, I had this huge revelation this last year. Like I was realizing, I was like, you know what? Like I'm going to start cooking more Korean food. And I did. Like I was reading, like I would always watch Gleets on TikTok, or I'd be like following Meng Chi's like videos and like her website and looking for all these recipes, because what was so nice was in my heart, I knew how things were supposed to smell and I knew how things were supposed to taste, but I just needed a little bit of that jump start to be able to make sure like the ingredient list at the very least. And so it was this really wonderful thing, because I felt like I was really able to connect better with my Korean culture. I was making kimchi in my dorm. It was pretty insane. Like I was putting in little mason jars and having it ferment. I was like making banchan and like sharing it with people. I had this wonderful moment where I had a few other friends that were Korean, which was great, because I didn't have a lot of those back growing up, other than ones that were associated with my church. And we were just like making mandu like on the floor, like just like folding dumplings. And I was like, this is spiritual. Even.
It's a bonding
like,
moment.
It's bonding. And I was like, this is like so beautiful. How can we
Oh no.
Food is so important to not only, it's like a language in itself. Like you said, it's a love language. And I would say it's not even just a love language, but it's literally like a language. You there it can be lost in the same way a language can, and it can be built upon and change and grow beautifully in the
Oh
same way
my
a language
gosh.
can.
That's
Like,
so true because y'all remember that part in Crying in H Mart where
yeah.
Michelle was like trying to like recreate the recipes after her mom died, but she said it didn't have the taste or flavor. That's how food can get lost in language. But then like the fact that she had to pour love into it and her heart into it represents that like she was able to pour her love through that language. Like
Yes.
that's not to like add a quote, but
No, you should add the quote because it's completely real. And like another thing about food and language is like when we talk about losing it, it's like in very much we can lose language for negative reasons too. Like whether that's suppression or genocide. For example, this thing really sticks with me to this day is there are some Korean dishes which cannot even be made anymore, and which that we can't make because when Japanese with Japanese occupation in Korea, introducing like monoculture, like farming, we lost some of like the natural flora and fauna. And so now to this day, there aren't some meals that can like there aren't dishes that can be made anymore. And that's just like to lose some aspect of food is to lose some aspect of culture, truly.
Yes, that's very true. And I know that like there are certain dishes that were made in past wars. I'd forget which one specifically that are now like a staple Asian dish. So like food also represents history. It's the way that our ancestors like came before us. And it also represents that like our identity is just never stagnant. Like it's always constantly changing. It's always evolving. There's always like new restaurants, new fusion places that represent this new Asian American identity, new creations that are being formed. And it just represents like history, like and how it's always constantly growing and expanding. And I feel like food is just a good homage to it. It pays homage to our ancestors, but also homage to the future. I just love talking about food. Like
Truly.
I could talk about it for hours because like I just feel like it has such cultural revenance to this day. And so,
100%.
yeah.
Like, it's just, how could you, like, it's so, like, I understand, like, food at its core is nutrients, but why would you not make it something worth putting into your body? Like, your body is beautiful. Like, you're feeding it not only. Like, I think it's important to be feeding it history and to like make sure that you are filled with like an abundance of just knowledge through it. And I'm just talking now like crazy, like about it or whatever, but I do want to ask you, what is your favorite food from your like cultural background, or whether it's even like
Oh.
your familial cultural background? Like, is there something that your family does that mixes something up?
Yeah. Well, I talked about this in a other episode. It's kare kare, and it's like kind of like a Filipino stew with a like I think a peanut sauce. It's composed of like it could be like pork, and then you have like string beans, eggplant, bok choy, and it's all in just this stew. And it just reminds me of home because like that's my favorite dish my mom would always make. And so whenever I smell it, like I went to a Filipino restaurant recently in the DMV area, and I was just like, oh my God, like mom, I miss my mom and everything. Like it's just so hard to like just be away from home and then just
It
having like
is.
your favorite Filipino dishes or any Asian dishes and just having it feel like home. So, I mean, totally got sidetracked, but
No,
yeah, that's my
that's.
favorite. How about yours?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what I was looking for. I mean, like, when I was in Michigan, I was not getting any Korean food. I was like so sad. I was
Oh
like,
my God,
this is
yeah.
horrible. So mine is going to be pretty generic and also broad, but I am going to have to say kimchi. Like, I know it encompasses a lot of things, like, because kimchi means a lot of ways, but like for specifically the ones made with cabbage, my grandma actually makes kimchi, but in a way in which it's still she actually doesn't use shrimp paste. And actually, she's able to make it vegetarian too, but still good. Which is relevant because a lot of her background too is she's like Korean, but she also is Christian and we're surrounded by a lot of people who don't eat shellfish or don't eat meat. I eat both. I love shrimp. Oh my gosh. But to this day, like she makes delicious kimchi like that everyone enjoys. Shrimp eaters, like meat eaters, like everyone who eats anything, like they love it. And it's so unfortunate because she is so good at making it that like it ruins my experience sometimes at restaurants where I'm like, this isn't a lot as good as hers. Like this is like a bummer. When I was like in Michigan, I was like, this is like my grandma could do it better. And so when I started cooking again this year, it was this aspect of being like, it doesn't have to just stay with my grandma. Like I can also be making bomb kimchi and like bomb like panttan and dishes like this. Like I can keep this going. It didn't have to stop, so but
Did growing up, I know that like especially for Asian dishes, there's a very strong smell that comes with Asian dishes. Growing up, did you have an experience of like being ostracized for your food or seeing it as kind of like a negative thing growing up?
I mean, not really. There was some vague shame about it where I'm like, I probably don't want to stink things up. But also, I guess I'll be honest, I didn't really care too much. I was like, whatever. I was like, but my actually, I had a fourth grade teacher who I talked about kimchi with her, and she was like, I would love to try some sometime. And I gave some to her, I actually brought some to school, and she loved it. And she was really nice. She was like this like little, very polite, like white woman. And I was like, thank you, white. Like, I was like, thank you, my fourth grade teacher. Like, you really, like, that's, I feel like I had an experience there, which a lot of people don't get. And I was like, because usually it's one of ostracization. I was like, wow, I kind of my only memory is it being like a someone being like, I love this. So lucky me, I guess.
I was gonna say, because I've always had like negative experiences
Okay.
where like I would bring food, and I know this is so stereotypical, but it does happen where I was always brought into the lunch table and my food would just like reek. I'm not gonna lie, it reeked like, but it was so good. Like it tasted good. And like for example, like the kare kare, like it's like a beef stew. It's like a little brownish, so it kind of looks a little bit like poo, but it's really
Okay.
good. But
No, don't even.
yeah,
You don't even have to say
but like
that.
kids in like the first grade would be like, ew, what is that? Like, why does it smell like that? And so I definitely had like a complicated relationship with food, and that kind of tied into my Asian identity, because it's like, why am I, like as a kid, I was like, why am I being made of something that like I grew up loving and grew up wishing I had? So then I steered away from it for a little bit. So
Yeah.
food definitely represents like your crisis and your identity, like going in and out, like whether or not you love it or not. But I'm currently in my era where I love it. So
Yes, please keep on being in that era. And I think it's worth noting, I grew up in Washington State, so I'm from the West Coast, and you did say you grew up in Illinois. I think geographically where you are does have a lot to say about that too, because I was also on like pretty in the West Coast part of Washington too, so I actually was surrounded by a lot of Asians. Not as many as if I was like in California, but still like had a pretty good presence there. So, I think it's always worth noting too. Different places, different stories.
That's
I
very
will say,
true.
yeah.
Because I feel like the Asians that I grew up in California and go to my school now, they're very so in tune with their Asian identity, and that ties in with their food and their language. They know how to cook, they know how to like do all that stuff. And I feel like geographically, if I were placed in California, like I would be the same way. But since I grew up in Illinois, like, and there wasn't really anyone like me that I could. And like, I feel like as a kid, like those formative years where like you're not surrounded by people that are not like you, you're going to assimilate and you're going to try to like be the common ground.
100%.
So I definitely like when it came to food, like it definitely was always super complex for me. But now, like as I mentioned before, like it's definitely have helped me. So, and
Yeah.
yeah, another thing is also about like, Mar like Chinatowns. I think that was like the one thing Like Illinois has a very, like Chicago has a very great Chinatown. I love their Chinatown.
I loved, hey, when I was in Michigan, I was going to Chicago a lot. I love Chicago's Chinatown.
Yes,
It is
right?
so fun. Yeah.
It's amazing. And so that was another way that I also grew up loving food is because I've seen so many Asian families. That was my only like sense that like, oh my gosh, there's like so many different Asians and I'm not the only one. And I was able to experience kind of like commonality between each other and understanding that like our interests are the same. Social gatherings have definitely helped me be more aware of my Asian identity and helped me grow better about it. So
Yeah, Joel, Jen, come up to Washington or come over to Washington sometime. I'll show you. Come over to Seattle. I'll show you the
no,
international. I'll show
I
you the
need to
ID,
go.
the international district. I'll show you my favorite places. We gotta make this happen. Yeah.
No, I've been saying this because I have family in Seattle. So if I happen to see you, I
Ah,
don't know.
well, I think this is a good place to start wrapping it up. But before we end the episode, we actually collected a few, Jenna mentioned this earlier, we collected a few statements from the rest of the Dear Asian Girl team, and they're going to be talking about their favorite food and some stuff that we kind of just talked about a little bit earlier. Thank you everyone so much for listening to us break it down.
Yeah, break it down.
Okay, and then cue clips.
Hi everyone, my name is Yalda and I'm Iranian. I would probably say that my favorite food from my culture is our cello kebabs. It's kind of like our national dish and it's more of a special occasion food, so not really something you'd eat on a random Wednesday at home. But I have a lot of good memories eating this with my family and my friends, and it's just a very unifying and culturally significant dish for us overall, and it tastes good, so.
Hi, I'm Nina, and my favorite cultural food would have to be chicken tikka masala, even though that's quite a basic dish, it's from India. It's just really a comfort food of mine, and the spices and the masala are just so comforting me, even though my spice tolerance is quite low. And I recommend to anyone who's new to Indian food and wants something relatively basic and relatively easy to find.
One of my favorite dishes from South Asian culture is actually a dessert called Feluda, what I consider to be the perfect summer snack. It's a mughal dessert with Persian origins. The traditional version is with vermicelli noodles, sweet basil seeds, and nuts in rose-flavored milk served with ice cream. Now, there are more flavors such as strawberry, which is my personal favorite, pistachio, and mango. The flavors are pretty endless, an Asian sundae, if you will. It has a similar resemblance to other Asian desserts such as boba or sago pudding, and in Singapore and Malaysia, for reference, there is a similar drink called bandung. If you haven't tried it yet, I hope you do so soon. Enjoy!